This is the House of Pop Culture. I am Anthony Donovan.
Amy Meredith.
Durwood Murray.
And Joe Reese.
And for about the next hour or so, we're going to be talking your face off about any and all things pop culture. Now, it's very interesting because all four of us, in the eyes of the law, are adults. So they keep claiming.
If you say so.
And we all have a deep-rooted love of all things pop culture, of music and movies and television. And I think in all four of our cases, it all began when we were kids. And I think that we all share a love of pop culture that stems from the things we grew up with. So we are kicking it old school today, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we're going to be talking about the music and movies and TV shows from our youth.
And toys.
And toys.
Fuck yeah, toys.
The things that shaped us. And, you know, it's stop it. Stop it. Damn.
You're on timeout.
Put your head down on your desk.
You're punished.
Okay.
Okay.
It's up, seven up.
Why can't you be more like your brother? Anyway.
Wow, that was from his childhood.
See? Told you.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so this is a broad subject, so I'm going to start with the broad. What do you think? What do you think, Joe?
I was actually at
you were born a poor white child.
Back at my dad's house in Texas. Where he lives now, and looking at a bunch of old pictures, and one of the pictures was from Christmas when I opened up my Castle motherfucking Grayskull.
Oh shit, you had a Castle Grayskull?
Fuck yeah, I did.
Oh, that's the shit.
Man, I remember playing with He-Man.
I had Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain.
Oh, I didn't have Snake Mountain.
And wait for it, Crystal Castle from She-Ra.
What?
Oh.
Man, you spoiled, closeted, homosexual child.
That was right around the time Dad started drinking in the morning.
No, I remember, I can't remember her name, but when I was in elementary school.
I think she's
in
called
Jersey.
Mom. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Nice. Someone I went to school with, basically, she would steal her brother's He-Man, and then we'd like come over like after school, we'd play with the He-Man and all that. And then like I think she happened to just leave a couple at my house, and then we moved. So I got free He-Man.
A girl got you into Masters of the Universe?
No, I just got more from her.
He just bogarted her.
I wonder if she teaches gym now at that school. And I mean gym like gym class, not gym your father. Yeah. Okay.
If we're talking about toys, my memories of my toys are mostly in my neighborhood. I don't know if it was like this with y'all. Toys were traded, you know, and there was always that term for keeps.
Screw that.
And so you would, you know, there would be kids with better toys and you would trade them, right? I remember one birthday I got, who remembers Voltron?
Oh, yeah. I fucking had a Voltron.
Voltron was the shit.
And did you have plastic or metal?
I had plastic motorized that you could back up and they would go, like they would roll on the ground.
I had the full like 75 pound metal version.
Oh shit, that was the nice one, okay. I had a little ghetto version, but still, it was good.
Wasn't that the Bobo Transformers?
No, those were GoBots.
No, yeah.
I had the GoBot Command Center too, though.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is the Bobo Voltron. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I had all five lions. My brother.
Did he have all their heads? Yes. I sure as hell didn't by the end.
My brother behind my back took the black lion and both the legs, I believe yellow and green. Yeah, yellow and green, and traded them with some kid in the neighborhood for Perceptor. He was the Autobot Transformer that was a robot that turned into a microscope.
Yeah.
What? DeAndre, what the fuck? Come on, man. Now, granted, he did come home a couple days later with an Omega Supreme Transformer.
Oh.
Yeah, so he made up for it. But still, man, my Voltrons, motherfucker.
That's the thing.
You trade, like, part of Voltron because that's the thing.
It was
only
each three
of individual
the five lines
were kind of cool. But it was only really fun to play with when all of them were connected into Voltron.
Yeah, I didn't trade any of my toys.
What kind of,
I still don't
what,
share my toys.
I didn't trade my toys. My brother did.
What kind of swap meet neighborhood did you live in?
It was just kind of what we did.
I shared my toys with my brother. Like, he stole them from me. And
exactly,
shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm lucky my brother and I were not into the same things at all.
Well,
because I loved, like,
your brother's kind of shady. Honestly.
I loved Transformers and, you know, in Masters of the Universe and stuff like that. Those were my jam.
Yeah.
All I would say, the granddaddy of all toys from childhood, Legos.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And I just want to touch on that really quick. thinking what I was into, because, like, and here's the thing. Yes, ha ha ha, make the little gay boy jokes. But my love of She-Ra was actually an extension of my complete obsession with Masters of the Universe.
Well, and He-Man was awesome.
That's, you know, and that's what I was about. And here's the thing. When I was collecting the toys and the action figures and stuff like that, there was one She-Ra doll that I could never find, and that was Mermista, the mermaid. And I could not find her. And it always made me bitter because my collection was not complete. So from the time I was 11 years old, I finally gave up on it. Flash forward. And it's the summer, and I'm a grown man of 35 trolling the internets late at night because I'm bored. I think I was on vacation or something.
This can't end well.
I see someone's got a Mermista on eBay. And I got to tell you, it took probably a good 45 minutes to talk myself down from that. Because I was just like, you know what? I'm an adult now.
No, it's...
And I need to close this chapter.
What, how much was it?
Here's,
like, $50.
Here's the thing, though. Right, being adults and having your own income, and now with the power of the internet,
yeah,
we've all bought some shit that we wanted just because we wanted them when we were children.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah,
dude, I do that with shoes now.
Absolutely. No, and that was the other thing, because the other thing that I did celebrating the fact that I was an adult is I was sitting at home. I was probably about 20 years old, and I happened to run into a department store, and I passed through the toy section, and I saw they had a Kermit the Frog, like the Kermit the Frog doll.
Yeah, yeah.
And I noticed, I was like, wow, that's damn near the exact dimensions of the real puppet. How cool would it be if I could, I'm an adult, I can do this.
Yes.
So I went and bought it, and then went to Home Depot and got, like, PVC and wires and wire cutters, made my own fucking Muppet. Screen accurate Kermit the Frog.
That God was, damn right.
That was the shit. My mom came home from work and was like, you need to get out of this house.
Well, because I'm a girl, my toys were very different from the young.
Oh, shit, here it comes. All right.
What?
No, like, just I had us, GoBots. I had.
Tell us about all your Barbie and Glowworm and My Little Pony bullshit.
You had those, didn't you, Derwood?
I had Glowworms. Anyway, go on.
You can be jealous because I did have an Easy Bake Oven.
Ooh.
I am jealous.
See?
Actually. I always wanted an Easy
Bake
Oven.
We all had our little friends who were girls when we were kids, and we would play with them because they insisted we play with their toys. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I got a little gem time from some of my girlfriends.
I didn't have girls that were friends when I was a kid, but I watched all the girly cartoons.
Okay.
Like Gem and the Holograms, yeah. I watched that religiously. Watched that. Yeah. My Little Pony, I watched that religiously.
Glowworms. I watched Care Bears.
Care Bears was my jam.
Care Bears was good.
That's not girly. I don't give a fuck. Care Bears was my jam.
I was at a
good
store.
Good Luck Bear? That's my nigga.
And I
wow.
I'm sorry.
Somebody needs to put that on a t-shirt.
Because what's awesome is I'm looking forward to the fact that I now get to play with all shit with my kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And not look completely weird.
That's true.
But I found a place that had for sale a Care Bears tea set.
Nice.
I debated buying it. But I'm like,
you should have.
You know, Joe, this is what you call dropping hints for baby showers.
I actually, girls' toys I was into, Rainbow Bright.
I was never feeling Rainbow Bright.
I remember the movie. I remember watching the movie.
But my favorite toy, it was a bust, not boobs. A bust of Barbie, and you could brush her hair and do her makeup. That was my favorite toy, and you could like wash her face.
You could paint her up like a whore?
Sometimes.
All right.
The most important skill you can teach a young girl is how to objectify women.
Here's the thing, is that I had that and an Easy Bake Oven. So,
did you used to put some of your pageant crowns on Barbie's head?
Fuck no, those are my crowns.
Whoa, okay.
Oh, easy.
All right.
Amy, sit down, please.
All right.
Nobody takes my crowns.
Amy, angry.
Dress her up like your hoish friend.
But cartoons, the Saturday... Now, I had a life as a child, so I didn't watch a lot
of... After these messages, we'll be right back.
Nice. I actually had a life as a child, so I didn't watch a lot of cartoons.
I watched a shit ton of cartoons.
So did I. Oh,
now,
my Lord.
Here's the thing.
Mask.
You had your Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Yeah.
They all were shitty.
Yeah.
The ones where they would put all of them together for like the
Laugh Olympics?
The Laugh Olympics.
They would do a lot of cross-pollinating with their cartoons, which was kind of awesome from a fandom standpoint.
It was weird seeing Jabberjaw and Grape Ape together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially because Jabberjaw really isn't supposed to be able to survive out of water.
Okay, so you didn't have a problem with the fact that he could talk and play a ukulele, but...
I'm just saying.
But out of all the Saturday morning cartoons, my favorite was Captain Caveman.
Oh, well,
I loved
Caveman!
I loved Captain Caveman.
That was great.
My favorite was even, I mean, it was all before my time, but it was all on reruns, was Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Ah, man, if I have to pick a favorite, it Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
The most degrading show on television.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Picture Pages.
Picture Pages.
Picture Pages was dope. I actually had Picture Pages.
Nice.
And would do them along with Bill Cosby. It was so awesome.
Did your pen make the noise?
No, and I was always so jealous of that.
Guys,
I talked to my mom, and I was like, why does my pen make noise like Mortimer?
His pen didn't make the noise.
Yes,
that
it
shit
did.
Was added in post.
No, it wasn't.
Fuck you! Do not ruin my childhood!
I'm gonna sit down now.
Oh
yeah.
My god!
Yeah,
I don't like the way this is going.
That was so loud it actually knocked my chair back. Okay. So
anyway,
okay.
Now, so I don't Mortimer know if made you, noise when you were growing up. If you got HBO, but like you know, if you're watching stuff, and then sometimes if there was you know they usually had stuff start on the hour, so you know, there'd be like you know 15-20 minutes. They would have like Brain Drain.
I remember always turning away from that because it wasn't a movie.
I love Brain Drain. Ooh, that shit Brain was Drain. Awesome. It was just a bunch of random weird shit. It was supposed to be like, you know, educational or something, but it just was weird.
There was one thing on cable I was interested in watching, and that was Mousercise on the Disney Channel.
Really?
Yeah, Kellen taught me everything about a woman's body that every 6-year-old needs to know. And bless her soul, she's no longer with us. She passed a couple of years ago. But yeah, I remember watching that show, and I would always watch that and Good Morning Mickey.
Oh. I remember Good Morning Mickey.
Yeah, well, and that was interesting because they used to show all the classic Mickey cartoons. But when we were kids, like in the 70s and 80s, on network television, they were still showing cartoons from the 40s.
Yes.
Like the old Bugs Bunnies and stuff
it's
like that.
The one
they don't do that anymore.
It's the one thing that angers me most about TV today, and it's why we're going to have such a lost generation. When we were kids, our syndication was old school TV.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, syndication is shit that's already on. It's still on the air.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, what I'm looking forward to
there's
doing
no,
now.
There's no respect for history of TV now.
My kid is only going to watch like shit that I watched when I was a kid.
You're goddamn
and, like,
right.
Old school stuff. Mainly for two reasons. One, because that shit was awesome. Two,
you want to watch
they
it
don't,
again?
No, they. Well, okay, that's number two. Number three, they don't make merchandise for that shit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna be walking around Target with my kid like I want that.
That's
no,
true.
You don't know who the fuck Dora is. So
yeah,
fuck that.
I'm pretty
fuck
sure
Swiper.
That's gonna happen regardless.
That's
yeah.
because
yeah,
no. most of the toys that were advertised are now deadly to children.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
oh God, if like. You could have died with all the toys we had as a
oh,
kid.
My Lord. I had that fucking helicopter that was a quote-unquote remote controlled, but it was attached by a wire, and you hit a button and the propeller goes. It just goes flying around
okay.
the room all willy-nilly, and it hits you in the head and eyes and throat repeatedly.
Nothing hurts worse than the water wiggle.
Yeah.
Were you diving on top of it? What
no,
the fuck?
That one of those things would whack you in the leg or in the, if you were like
oh, and the water that came out of it was like just highly
it
concentrated.
It was like a laser.
Like, yeah.
Or
like highly pressurized water. Like,
or
you know, like
a slip
fire hose.
And slide if you didn't put that shit in the right place.
Oh, yeah. You lay that down over some rocks and mm-hmm. that's your ass.
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
let's do this on the driveway.
No. I want to go back to kids' TV shows that were on cable. And we really, really, really need to mention, because I think it was an influence on all of us and what we do now. You can't do that on television.
Yeah.
Yes.
That
oh,
was
yeah.
my that was my first experience.
I was
experience.
Not allowed to watch that show.
When I was a kid.
I wasn't either, but I would sneak it.
When I was a kid, Alistair Gillis could get it.
He was everybody's favorite. And that was my first experience with sketch comedy. I didn't
yeah.
know what it was
yeah.
at the time. But, I mean, the yeah. locker jokes, that was laughing.
No,
in
yeah, totally.
And
yeah.
That was, yeah.
Totally.
And I just remember loving the
oh,
hell out of that
wacky
show.
Canadian.
My Dave, favorite yeah. part of the show was always the beginning when they'd say, you know, whatever made-up ridiculous program will not be seen tonight.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked that.
I
it was like the dog pound for Arsenio.
Kind of.
Yeah. I loved Barth's Burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, what do you think's in the burger was always my favorite catchphrase. Always.
Now, if we're going on cable, though, mine would have to be Fraggle Rock.
I did not. It was, as a kid, I did
HBO.
Not. I did not like Fraggle Rock.
Well, I loved.
Now
Fraggle
I love
Rock.
It.
When I was a kid, the Muppets were the rock my church was built on,
yeah. Yeah.
And so I was about it. I remember Fraggle Rock premiering.
Sweetums, you my boy.
And I loved Fraggle Rock.
Saturday morning though. You gonna go American Bandstand? Or are you gonna go Soul Train?
You're gonna go Soul Train.
Soul Train did not play where I grew up. I grew up in Southern New England.
I did not watch either.
Yeah, it did not play. It was American Bandstand where
double
we lived.
Racist.
Now, what about you?
Because
she grew up in Alabama.
Music. I would go Soul Train.
Did well,
oh yeah, no, we got both.
But did they both play?
Oh yeah, we got both.
Okay, because like I had never seen an episode of Soul Train until I was like past high school.
Oh, no, that's no, we got both.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Because I always wanted to go down the line. Like, I knew I could do that
yeah,
shit.
We had that. We had Friday Night Videos, and we had Midnight Special.
Okay.
But from my childhood, if it's going to be one of those kind of shows, it's Solid Gold.
Oh, well, yeah, Solid Gold was awesome.
I wanted to be a Solid Gold dancer.
That was Danny Terrio, right?
Yeah. No, that was Dance Fever.
Yeah. Oh, damn, I get it mixed up.
No, I
no Marilyn McCoo hosted Solid Gold.
Oh, that's right.
I wanted to be
that's
a Solid
right.
Gold dancer. That was, like, the thing.
Yeah, but they were really good dancers,
they
though.
They were
yeah.
good
like,
dancers.
They weren't, like, you know, the Fly Girls or some shit.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
The Fly Girls actually were good dancers.
Thank
well, you.
Know, recognize.
A little more classically trained, I'm just
going
to say.
And who is it that did the choreography of the Fly Girls?
Rosie Perez.
Rosie Perez, yeah.
And Carrie Ann, one of the Fly Girls.
Carrie Ann Inaba.
Yeah, now one of the judges on Dancing with the quote-unquote stars.
And J-Lo.
Question mark.
J-Lo. J-Lo was
J-Lo
also
was a dancer, yeah.
But yeah, Solid Gold was it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to be Solid Gold dancer. Let me ask you boys, speaking of your youth, what was your first celebrity crush?
Ooh, huh.
Winnie Cooper.
I don't know if you could call it a crush, but I remember the first time I was ever completely transfixed by a celebrity
right.
was on American Bandstand, and I love telling this story. I was watching it, and Dick Clark, I remember, like, sitting.
You got a hard-on for Dick Clark.
No, my parents had a rocking chair. It was my grandmother's, and I sat in the rocking chair, and I was watching American Bandstand on Saturday morning, and Dick Clark was saying, you know, we've got a performer here who is making her first appearance on television, and it was Madonna. And she performed Holiday. And at that moment, I absolutely thought she was the single coolest person I had ever laid eyes on. I loved her look. I loved her clothes. I loved the way she danced. Holiday, to this day, is still my jam. I love that song. Absolutely, positively fell head over heels in love with her at that moment and never looked back.
Derwood?
I think for me, it was Janet Jackson around circa Black Cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking Fame, because that's when I remember her. And Penny on Good Times.
Yeah, but she was really young in Penny on Good Times, and I really wasn't feeling her look when she was doing the guest spots with Different Strokes either.
Mm-hmm.
But around that Black Cat era, and she's wearing those tight black jeans and just that white shirt that she would rip open every now and again, I didn't know why, but I was just like, I really want to see her all the time. And I wish there were a little 14-year-old version of her that would come and transfer into my high school and sit next to me all the time.
And squeegee your glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was kind of a traitor to my friends because they were all about...
Scott Baio?
Yes. Well, they were all about, like, New Kids on the Block and...
Leif Erickson?
That kind of thing. Shut up. My first celebrity crush was Bruce Willis. I'm not even going to lie.
You mean Leif Garrett?
No, I meant Leif Erickson.
Okay.
Because she's that old.
The Viking?
Yeah.
My first one was Bruce Willis on Moonlighting. I just thought he was so cool, and he was so funny, and...
You'd still tap that.
I know, I totally would. Yeah, mine would definitely have to
totally
be...
totally tap Die Hard.
Or Kiefer Sutherland and The Lost Boys. Mm, that was, yeah.
You got your thing for vampires.
Now that I think about it, my first real celebrity crush when I was a kid was probably Tiffany Brissett from Small Wonder.
Wait, was she the robot?
She was the robot. And we've talked about how disturbing this is before on this podcast.
Because he wanted a woman to put in a box.
But I was also about Soleil Moonfrye.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And she only got hotter the older
she
got.
Oh, and when she was on Wonder Years. That
she still looks great.
She still looks... Soleil Moonfrye, if you're out there, hey.
She's married. She has kids. You leave her alone.
You can still hang out.
Dolly, I'm just letting you know
I'm just letting you know that you got options, okay? If you... things aren't going that well or something, you need a little bit of a release, a little outlet. I'm just saying.
Well, let me enlighten you. She had breast reduction surgery.
Uh-oh. Never mind, Soleil.
This is a woman who willingly made her breasts smaller.
Soleil, I'd like you to go ahead and die.
Mm-hmm.
Derwood Murray.
One thing that I was just thinking about that I remember fondly from my childhood is during the week... You know, whether or not, you had, whatever your school hours were, or during the summer, or spring break, or you were sick, all the old game shows.
Oh hell yeah.
I miss game shows.
Oh, man, just like...
The weekend the Game Show Network premiered,
we didn't
leave our apartment for an entire weekend.
Oh, my God, because they showed the classic... The newlywed game?
Oh, those were great.
Oh, my God.
The implementation of Plinko. We couldn't take it.
We could.
Oh, A match game? Right. Fucking match game.
Yep.
Even Price is Right, Hollywood Squares.
Tic-Tac-Doe.
Card Sharks.
Card Sharks.
Yep.
Card Sharks was
Press
the one.
Press Your Luck.
Oh.
No whammy, no big man. Big money, no whammy, no whammy. Stop.
I used to watch Wheel of Fortune when I was a kid, back when Chuck Woolery was the host.
Ooh,
and Susan Stafford was the hostess. And I remember we had these towels that used to hang on a rack in our bathroom, and I was small enough that I could fit under the towel rack, and I would have my brother introduce me as though I were Susan Stafford, and I would part the towels and come out and wave and do my beauty. God, what a faggot I was.
I remember thinking, like, around the time I got to college, when I could actually start watching Price is Right consistently again, I remember thinking how sad it's going to be one day when we no longer have Bob Barker hosting this show.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. I mean, no disrespect to Drew Carey, but it's when it comes to the Price is Right, that is Bob Barker, plain and simple, and it's just, I'm sad to see.
Isn't there a male Barker's Beauty now?
Is there?
Yeah, I think there's a dude.
That's some bullshit.
That's not good.
Give me Janice.
Oh, Janice Parkinson? Oh,
yeah, and you know what? She's probably damn near 70 at this point, but she kept it tight.
Yeah, she did.
The one, Family Feud.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Good answer.
Pour one out right now for Richard Dawson?
Oh, yeah.
That man was such a sexual harasser.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nothing wrong with him.
He would literally
they
make
knew
out.
It, though. The women were into it.
Yeah.
Like, they would get
on the show just to get some of that.
I would see old ladies reaching under that table just so they could tweak their nipples when he came to them. Like, you know, it was... Yeah, no, seriously, they were about it.
And you know there were some guys that were thinking, maybe he'll kiss me.
Maybe I can get a little bit of that Hogan's Heroes action.
Although, would you stop? With Price is Right, I always loved it when, like, the big Samoan women would run up there and, like, grab Bob Barker and, like, jump around with him.
And then they'd spin the wheel, but they'd be kind and do it with one arm just so this thing wouldn't be spinning for the whole hour.
And what always pissed me off about that show is when people were complete fucking idiots, never watched that show. Like, there were some things that were on there every single week. It's like, it's $2.99.
Yes.
Or then they're stupid and they're like, oh, I bid $500. Next person, I bid $4.99. Ha ha! You
fucking idiot.
Drink. Oh.
And Cole Durwood a fucktard.
True, very true. Your board game of choice.
Ooh. I was a Monopoly kid.
I've yet to ever finish a game of Monopoly.
My
brother still owes me $1,700 for landing on my boardwalk with a hotel in 1985.
Do you play McDonald's Monopoly?
Every fucking time they trot it out, I am there. I don't care if I'm on a diet. I'm like, yeah, what y'all saw? I got the Monopoly pieces on it. I'll take three of those. Thank you.
The first board game that I remember like playing with my family and was Yahtzee.
Oh.
Like, we were a big Yahtzee household. We also played Pachino, which is kind of like Italian bingo.
Oh, yeah. I remember Pachino.
And I loved Monopoly. Clue was a big favorite of mine. Yeah. But I gotta say that my number one thing that I loved, like my brother and I hated playing Connect Four with him because he would always beat me. Same reason I hate playing it with Joe. But the other thing,
you can't play Connect Four with Joe's.
Yeah, it's true. But my shit was Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh, yeah. That was just a fun game to have.
Yeah.
There was this one board game. Whenever I bring it up, no one else knows of this game. It was called Hotels. It was very similar to Monopoly, but basically it had like...
Did it involve Shari Belafonte?
No. There was like eight or nine properties, like you'd go around and then like real life hotel properties. And then you'd have to build the pieces of the hotel. Very similar to Monopoly.
It was Bobo Monopoly.
Yeah. But the thing that was funny was we'd always play it. And this was at the point when I had kind of a temper. And the people that brought it out the most were my brother and my cousins. And I don't think we ever finished a game because usually at one point
you would start wailing on somebody.
No, I would flip the board and just storm out.
Joe's a bad loser. I loved Chutes and Ladders.
Oh, yeah.
Big Chutes and Ladders.
I love Candyland.
Candyland was
my
awesome.
My brother and I would play Battleship for hours.
That's a good one.
Good.
And you had to be careful, because that one was easy to cheat on.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I cheated, too. But you had to be careful about it.
In my house, we played a lot of the game of Life.
I enjoyed that. Yeah.
And we played a lot of Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I like some Sorry. Oh, I like Trouble, too.
Boggle was another one I always enjoyed.
Sometimes, I remember on Monday nights, we'd open up the fridge and play Which Meat is Older.
And in that game, everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
So let me
except your colon.
Yep.
As a child, we all have those pictures that you hide from people because of what you're wearing.
Oh, I proudly.
Joe had some of the most upsetting shorts I've ever seen on someone, and yeah, very, very. I wouldn't want to see these things on an adult, and I like looking at Wang. I just, yeah. It,
I don't know if it was my regular day clothes because I danced and did pageants growing up, but my hair was beautiful and large as it is still now, because as we say down south, the higher the hair, the closer to God. But my dance recital costumes. There was one year where we did a jazz number to Debbie Gibson's Electric Youth. And our costumes were this unitard of just beautiful day glow yellow with cow print.
Oh, Jesus on the Christ. Sides.
And that screams Electric Youth. Ow.
And it came with a matching headband.
Please tell me your hair was crimped. Please tell me.
No, but I think I did have a home perm.
Electric Youth perfume. I'd like to thank you, Joyce Fusco, for spilling an entire bottle of that on me in ninth grade.
Clothing?
I just... See, here's the thing. I'm not ashamed of anything I wore because it was so of the time, you know? Because I came of age in the early 90s where we started wearing the baggy clothes. And no, I never wore any of them backwards outside no of the house. I did wear cross colors, but cross colors were the shit. And I was the man for wearing them, you know what I'm saying? And I did have my high top fade, which was, it was perfect and neat and everything. I remember in sixth grade when I discovered mousse, because one of my white friends slept over and left his mousse over at my place. And I figured out if I brushed my fade into a Gumby that moussed it up, it would stay that way. And so I had hair like Bobby Brown for a couple days. That was pretty
well,
dope.
Given your age, you probably look like one of the boys.
Yeah, that's true.
You were going to dial some girl's heart. here's one for you. I remember I was performing in like a talent show in 1985, and I had on and I got to choose my own outfit, and I was so excited. And I wore one of those hats that looked like a painter's hat that had the drop cloth in the back.
Oh yeah,
it was
Jesus
like a
Christ.
Hat mullet. But yeah. Wait, it gets better. I was also wearing a black and white checkered neckerchief, a red tank top. And black leather parachute pants.
Oh my!
Yeah, this was 80s hardcore. And my shoes.
There a picture of this?
My shoes were Adidas, and I had these really fat neon green laces.
You have to have the fat neon laces.
They were my favorite, and I was so happy. And in the number, it was part of like a big song and dance number. And not only did I sing, I did shadow puppets.
Look,
as part of the musical number.
We're laughing at that outfit now.
Mm-hmm.
But in 85. You were the man wearing that
I'm
outfit.
Pretty sure I was, yeah.
You were the man.
You probably got laid afterwards.
Not that I recall. But I just remember, like, I remember winning that fight with my mom and getting to choose that outfit. And it was my pride and joy.
Did you guys have a members-only jacket?
Yes. Hell yes, I did.
I had a navy blue members-only jacket.
Please, I never had one.
That's a rich tradition. My father still has one of those.
I had a navy blue, my brother had a burgundy, my dad had one in black, and we wear them all together at the same time, and we were cool, goddammit!
I had a black one, and a gray one, and a blue one.
I didn't have a members-only jacket, but I did have a Coca-Cola Letterman jacket.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That must have been expensive.
It was.
I had an Italian jealous. Corvette Letterman jacket.
Oh.
But that was like very late 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a Coca-Cola Letterman jacket. It was kind
of
badass.
Well, I'll tell you what I was all about, speaking about clothing, of what we wore back in the day. In the late 80s, I was obsessed. Well, my best friend was a couple of years older than me, and he basically dressed me. So it was very common in the late 80s to see me wearing a fedora, a bolo tie, and a cardigan sweater.
All together?
Yes. With three or four swatches.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm jealous, because I always got a swatch. I had a swatch, and I thought that was. I always wanted to double up on the swatch, though. And my parents would never
double up.
My parents never buy me the second watch. Like, you got one watch. I'm like, but I want to be cool.
I had
like Uncle
several.
Joey,
black and teal. That was my show. Oh my God, I love that watch.
I had a bunch of them, but mine were always the girl ones. So I would go steal my brother's, so I could like go girl boy, and have like five of them.
Now you're just greedy.
I never had, but when I was 10, I moved from New Jersey to Southern California, and I ended up starting wearing like all like the Ocean Pacific, Quicksilver, Billabong. Like, yeah, it was like so all these, like, you know, I was like, I'm a California kid now.
So many of the most unfortunate outfits I wore in the early 90s can be blamed on Z. Cavaricci.
You want to know what where many of my fashion mishaps came from? It was because I grew up in the suburbs around mainly white people.
You so you're blaming us?
No, 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 I'm not. But what I'm saying is I would go to like family events, right? Like I can remember distinctly my cousin had a graduation party, right? And I was like in elementary school at the time. And there was one white dude at this party full of black people, right? And he was wearing a tank top with jeans. I'd never, ever seen anybody wear a tank top with full pants before.
That is some Caucasian shit right there.
Exactly. Yeah. I only ever saw a tank top with shorts. We wore a tank top with jeans, and he stood out. He stood out because he was the one white guy. I thought he stood out because he was wearing a tank top with jeans. So the next time I went to a dance, which was at a summer camp, I was like, you know what I'm going to wear? I'm going to wear the tank top with jeans. And my brother did the same exact thing.
Didn't Theo Huxtable used to rock that?
Maybe. But I just remember doing it because I saw the white dude doing it, and I thought I was the coolest motherfucker at that dance. And you know what? I was not.
Shocking.
See, it's the other way around. The white people are supposed to follow black people fashion as opposed to the other way.
We look
which
to you.
I learned way too late, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as kids and as lovers of pop culture like we were, did you ever sneak into that R-rated movie?
I am still mad to this day. The opening night of Madonna Truth or Dare, I was 15 when that movie came out. It was the summer before I turned 16. And it was rated R, and there was a big brouhaha about, oh, the movie's rated R, Madonna goes down on a bottle or some shit. And that's exactly how they said it on the news. Well,
film at 11.
Did they show her going down on the bottle?
I went to the theater, and I was there with my 18-year-old brother, and they would not let me in. My mom bought the tickets for me, and they would not let me in, and I had to go home, get my mom. And by the way, I have the greatest mom ever in the history of moms, because on a Friday night, she took her 15-year-old son to a midnight screening of Truth or Dare, which she did not want to see and was not shy about letting me know it, and sat in the theater and did not smoke for 2 hours, which again was a testament to how much she loved her kid. And I finally got to see it, but I'm still mad to this day they would not let me see it, because now you got fucking 9-year-olds going into NC-17 movies. Nobody says shit.
Yeah. I had to sneak into White Men Can't Jump. We had no idea going into it that it was going to be rated R. We thought it was just going to be a basketball movie.
Bet your bottom dollar.
Then we, can make them. And we're sitting there like, it's rated R? What the fuck? So we bought tickets to Wayne's World, and we snuck into White Men Can't Jump. Later on, we see Rosie Perez's boobs, and we're like, oh, this is why it's rated R. Yeah!
Should have been rated unfortunate.
Her boobs are nice. Well, they were nice. I don't know what they look like now. But yeah, 1992, Rosie Perez's boobs, yeah.
I think he was talking about the movie in general.
No, I was
speaking specifically about her tits.
Oh, okay, my bad. Go ahead.
I never really snuck into any movies. However, because I was, I'm a year and a half older than my younger brother, so there were times where, you know, we'd all be going to the movies, and so I would then have to buy him tickets. And I remember one time it was me, my friend from youth group, my brother and one of his friends, we decided to go see The People versus Larry Flint. So we go, I buy my ticket. I'm up at the, you know, I had not worked at a movie theater at this point, so I didn't realize how stupid this was. As I'm buying my ticket, because I was 17, and I'm like, I'll take one, like, oh, Dave, I need to buy your ticket because you're not 17. Like, at the window, I'm saying this.
You were the brains of the operation.
Yes. And so then, so they're like, I can't sell you a ticket. How old am I? 15? No.
Of course, it's not fair to single you out because the future doctor let you do it.
Yes. And so we're going around, and we just happened to run into, and then my friend bought his ticket. And then as we're walking around the mall, I'm like, well, what are we going to do? Are we gonna go? They're going to remember me because I'm a fucking idiot. And so then I end up running into...
Courtney Love giving dumpster blowjobs?
Yes. Two of the youth group leaders. We tried to convince them to buy two tickets for my 15-year-old brother to The People versus Larry Flint.
Wow.
Yeah. Stupid thing number two of the day. We then realized that they probably wouldn't recognize my friend, so he went up and bought two tickets, so then we got to see People vs. Larry Flint. But
I never really snuck into R-rated movies, but we had cable, so we had HBO. I would always wait for like them to like go to bed or something, and I would watch First and Ten.
Oh, I loved that
on
show.
HBO.
Oh, my Lord.
I watched a lot of squiggle porn.
Yes,
I watched
squiggle porn. The youth of today will never know squiggle porn. They just need the internet.
I watched a lot. I remember staying up late and watching very quietly softcore porn on Showtime and Skinemax.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was my jam, but I also did love First and Tenth.
Well, my parents had the Playboy channel when it first came about.
What?
And I remember like sneaking in there with my cousin to watch it, and it was, yeah.
Did your dad and mom watch that together or something?
Hell if I don't want to think about that.
No, I'm just saying. Maybe
they sexed each other.
Maybe
now.
They used it for a little bit of foreplay before they were getting it on Jungle Style in their bedroom while you were asleep. I'm just saying. It's a possibility.
I don't want to think about
that. There's
probably
a video. They may have actually recorded some stuff for the Playboy
channel.
I don't
want to think about that.
I mean, if we could just imagine your dad taking your mom from behind fiercely.
No,
and
no,
just,
oh, no.
While the Playboy channel's in the background.
No.
Stop.
Moving on.
Dirty Playboy. Sanchez.
Moving on.
Stop.
Moving on.
But yeah, First and Ten, and also
Tales
from the Crypt.
That wasn't my thing. I'm not into scary stuff.
Well, because there were no boobs.
Yeah.
Well, I like scary stuff, but you know they'd always try to not let me watch it because they thought I was going to be scared. It never really scared because I like scary stuff. I guess that's where it started. But yeah, no. Tales from the Crypt.
My mom was pretty strict. Like she, the first R-rated movie I ended up seeing was Commando at a soccer party, and then like
Commando.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Alyssa Milano.
It's that movie where they run around with no underwear on?
Yes. But I was not allowed to watch Married with Children.
Oh,
what a
but
shame.
I was barely able to watch The Simpsons, like when it first came, like because I was 10 when it came out. And so it was like I was barely able to, and my mom hated the fact that I loved The Simpsons so
I remember
much.
Having Likewise. No interest. I had no interest in Married with Children until I found out one of my friend's moms wouldn't let him watch it.
And then you
and
just
so
had
I was like,
to
I gotta check this out. And then I didn't. I fell in love with it.
It was a while before we got that where I lived, but because we traveled with dance, whenever we'd go to Atlanta and we'd stay in hotels, it was like, oh, we're gonna get to go to Atlanta, stay in hotels, we can watch The Simpsons, we can watch Married with Children.
Yeah. Fox viewing position.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, because I was an extremely well-behaved child, because I forged my all-consuming fear of authority at a very young age.
His mother
way to
lays
go,
the
mom
law.
And dad. But my brother was hell on wheels, so they were usually so busy trying to, you know, pick him up at the police station or whatever, that oftentimes I was trusted to kind of police myself with things like that. So I got to watch Married with Children and, like, all those movies on cable because my parents just assumed I would make good decisions.
Well, the thing that annoyed me, because my brother and I are so close in age, and I'm the older one, most of the time, once I was allowed to do something...
He was too.
Oh, same here. How I wish your parents had known my parents, because Derwood and Joe are both the oldest of two. Amy and I are both the youngest of two. Now, being a younger sibling with me, and maybe it was different because it was a boy and a girl, but for me, I remember, like, I would carefully watch, monitor, and make mental note of everything my brother got to do when he was a certain age, because my parents would always say to me, well, when you're Joey's age, you can do this. So every single time I would get to be his age, I would just be like, step up with a giant smile on my face and say, give me that motherfucking steak knife, because I'm going to cut my own meat. And my mom would be like, of course, let me get that for you. Yeah, but I always hated the fact that, like, my brother got to do everything first.
Well, and older siblings always got to stay up later too.
Yep.
And that always pissed me off.
Nope.
See, mine did. My brother got to stay up like an hour later than I did.
You and DeAndre aren't that far apart.
13 months.
Yeah, okay.
So
see,
we did we're 18
everything yeah.
at the same time.
Because my brother and I are 3 years apart, and they're like
Jeffrey
four or five
and I
years
are,
apart.
We're 4 years apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucked. And the other thing is, because my brother is... Say he's the most persistent person on the face of this, you know, earth is an understatement.
I believe you mean face of this earth.
Shut the fuck up. the fact that we were actually out in Wisconsin this summer for my grandma's 85th, I so simply won an argument with him. It was one of the proudest moments of my life because he's the type of person that will argue with you till you just give up. Even when he knows he's wrong.
He'll just keep
sticks
on.
To his guns.
Yes. And we were, because he now lives in Ohio, and I was saying something about, you know, oh, you know, you Midwesterner sort of thing. He's like, why am I Midwestern? I've lived in California almost my entire life. I'm like, what makes you me a Midwesterner? I'm like, well, you do own property and work and live in Ohio, which is fairly much in the Midwest. He's like, whatever. 3 minutes later, we're talking about it, and then he said something. Yeah, it's great. You know, your baby's coming in January because it'll be nice weather for us Midwesterners to come out. I'm like, you just said you're Midwesterner. I win. In the middle of this like overpass mall on the freeways that they have out there, waiting in line at Starbucks, like, and people are just kind of looking at me
at these two grown ass men. Yeah,
and they're like, okay, I'm like, I won a battle. I cherish these moments.
We're all very happy for you, Joe.
The only time I had a moment of satisfaction like that, because you know my brother's he's almost 40 and he's got kids and a beautiful family and absolutely love them, and he's like the greatest father I've ever seen. My mind is blown at his ability to parent. But the thing that made me happy when we got older was the fact when he finally gained more weight than me, because he used to give me such a hard time when we were growing up about my weight, because I wasn't really a heavy kid. I've always kind of had the same build, just out of shape. That's like, I was never one of the skinny kids, and I was never fat enough to be one of the fat kids. I was just doughy and out of shape. And my brother, you know, was
doughy and doughy.
My brother was a Spartan god when we were growing up. He had like the perfect athletic body and just, you know, never gained weight, and could eat like someone with a tapeworm, and he would always give me a hard time about my weight, always, growing up. And finally, like, there was this moment where I took a picture of him and his daughter and I posted it on Facebook, and I was just like, because we had just had dinner, and I was just like, dinner $24.99, you know, gas to drive to the restaurant $15, the satisfaction of seeing your brother is now fatter than you, priceless.
Wow.
Because I grew up in the pageant world, the dance world, I got a lot of attention, whereas my older brother did not. And I apologize. Jeffrey and I, we're much better about it now than we were when we were children. But my greatest moments when I was a kid was always the moments when they would force my brother to go to one of my shows. And I mean force my brother to go watch me at a pageant or a dance recital.
Which is a feat of his own, because Jeffrey actually was a big kid.
Yeah. And every single time there's a picture, and I can show you, there are multiple.
It's hilarious.
And it's always the same thing. It's me and my little pretty pageant dress or my costume smiling.
Giant smile.
Beaming like just the glorious child that I am. My brother standing behind me with this look of death on his face.
Scowl.
Because every single time before that picture is taken, the same thing was said. Go stand behind your sister and take a picture.
Yeah, no, it's awesome because you can see the progression as they get taller, but their expressions never change. Amy is still smiling, and Jeff is standing over her with this scowl on his face.
I feel for you, Jeff. I
love my brother, and now we're much better. But yes, that the same thing was said. Go stand behind your sister was said every single time.
I just remember growing up, my brother was a dick. All right, let's move on.
My brother and I used to fight all the time. And it was funny because even though he is, like, blonder than I am, like, completely Aryan blonde, like, we got, like, from all our relatives, we got the nickname the Xerox twins. Like, and I don't remember this so well, but apparently we were both complete terrors. I don't really remember that well.
Oh, you thought you were total angels?
Oh, I was a total terror. My brother's favorite game when I was, right after I was born, after they learned that I could sit up by myself, his favorite game, because we had a long hallway, was to sit me down at the end of the hallway, and then he would take a ball and roll it down the hallway and knock me over.
Now, you were a baby, right?
I was a baby, but apparently I loved it. Like, I would fall over and laugh and giggle.
That's kind of hilarious. And you love watching people get hurt now.
I do. And he would run to the end of the hall and set me back up.
I just want to give a shout out to Jeff Meredith, because in addition to being an awesome guy, he's also contributed to Little Rat Bastard. He does a lot of columns and interviews for them. And you can follow him on Twitter at JeffMLRB. It's good stuff. He writes some good stuff, and he's awesome. His wife Renee, who's lovely.
I hope to meet him soon, and I want to give him a high five.
He's a lovely man. He really is.
But you mentioned that, and it makes me think again about my brother. And I just remember that time when he was a dick. Okay, moving on.
Although my brother and I did enjoy video games. Like, we had the Atari.
Oh, my lord.
We did enjoy video games because when we were kids, we didn't get along very well, but we did enjoy playing video games together.
I remember when I was finally able to get a Nintendo.
Oh, my lord. We started with the Atari 2600, which blew my mind. And then we got the Nintendo action set with the light gun to play Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
And then, oh, my lord, then we got the Sega Genesis.
I remember my brother buying a Sega Genesis. I used to commandeer it to play, like,
Sega Genesis. Playing Madden on the Genesis?
My brother and I would play Atari games all the time because, that was just the thing growing up.
Burger Time. We had Burger Time.
And we graduated to Nintendo, but right after Nintendo came along, we both kind of lost interest in video games.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
That shit just started getting good.
As well as it, we didn't get Nintendo when it first came out. Like, we were like, my parents were like, no, not yet. And then it was like a couple years later, then we finally got a Nintendo.
Well, you knew you were a kid in the 80s if you blew on an Atari cartridge.
Oh, yeah.
Before the compressed air.
Lord. Yeah. Also, Mike Tyson's Punch Out for hours.
Also, you knew you were a kid in the 80s if your VCR popped up.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, God. Our VCR. My family was one of the first families in the neighborhood to have a microwave oven. And we were also one of the first ones to have a VCR. And it had a remote control. And again, just like the helicopter, we called it remote control, but it was attached to a cord that was 3 feet long and it had two buttons, pause and fast forward. You know, the important ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had, it's one of those things, whether you had to set it so it would, you know, connect to, you know, to channel 3 or channel 4 on the...
Mm-hmm.
Ours had the remote control plug in too. It would only pause and play. We didn't have fast forward. You had to actually go up there and push it. Yeah.
Kids today are spoiled.
Yeah. I remember, like, you know, I had, like, you know, growing up when I was a little kid, you know, you had a bedtime sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember, and then occasionally, you know, you'd be allowed to stay up a little bit later, you know, family was over.
If you had a cool babysitter.
Yeah. And then, but I remember the special occasion where, like, you know, I lived in New Jersey, so I was under 10. And I got to stay up till 10 o'clock.
Ooh.
Because at 8 o'clock, was the 2-hour DuckTales movie. The first time that shit came on, oh my god, that was glorious.
DuckTales. Woo!
I remember being able to stay up late anytime Michael Jackson was going to be on TV. And I can remember the first, this is like my first memory of anything pop culture. It was the Motown 25 special where he it was the first time he performed Billie Jean.
Yep.
It's because he told Berry Gordy he'd come and do that special and perform with his brothers only if he got to do his own music. And he did Billie Jean, and it's when he did the moonwalk on stage for the first time.
Yep.
And I saw that, and I know I use this as hyperbole a lot, but this blew my mind. I stood up at however old I was, this was like 83 or something like that, 82, 83, stood up, pointed at the TV, and yelled at my parents who were having a party in the other room, "That motherfucker just walked on air!" Which is what it looked like to me. And then he did it again. I was like, he did it! He walked on air! He walked on air! The moonwalk!
Did they immediately come in there and wash your mouth out with soap?
I don't think they heard me, honestly. But they...
Because it's probably a little dirty.
But it was so... I don't know if you can imagine... Just... Try and imagine Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk for the first time.
I don't have to imagine.
Before he went crazy and just...
And that's the thing is that, you know, when we were kids, Michael Jackson was nothing short of magical.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Look, here's the thing. I'm 37 years old. I watch that video now and it still impresses me.
Yes.
Yeah, I will say, it's a little bit later, but I was in some store and Black or White came on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking, like, that might have to be one of the last videos that really mattered.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it debuted in prime time after The Simpsons. It was made a big, huge deal.
Yeah.
And I think that was the last time that ever happened.
Yeah, that was 92, 91 or 92?
91.
91,
well,
yeah.
It's great, but it was nothing compared to Thriller.
I'm not saying the
premiere of Thriller, that was a huge deal.
See, I had cousins. They were the first ones in the family that had a VCR. So they recorded the Thriller video and they recorded the making of.
When MTV, you know, was actually great and showed videos and stuff.
And had music on the channel.
I loved MTV back in the day. And I also, actually, it was funny because thinking back to music. music when we were kids. My mom had no problem with me watching the Thriller video, but she threw my copy of Prince's 1999 album out the window once she heard me listening to the song Let's Pretend We're Married. Because apparently my mom, in her quote-unquote infinite wisdom, thought it was inappropriate for a seven-year-old to be saying, I sincerely want to fuck the taste out of your mouth. Like, what?
But she was cool with Darlin' Nikki?
Well, along those same lines, for some reason, I don't know how I got a copy of this. I had a copy of Robin Williams Off the Wall. 1970s coked out Robin Williams stand-up special. I remember I had that thing memorized, and in sixth grade camp, like we were supposed to do like a skit, I wanted to do one of the bits from there. And I think one of the counselors was like, you're 12.
That was like you kind of snuck to see like Eddie Murphy Raw.
Oh, my parents wouldn't allow me to see Raw. Like that was the only thing I was never allowed to see.
Delirious was all about it in my household, and my parents couldn't hide it because they loved it so much. They watched it constantly.
Well, yeah. So you never, when you were a kid, knew the House Burger?
No, I didn't. It took me so long to figure out what everybody was talking about. I wasn't even really supposed to watch Def Comedy Jam, but I would. I was a little bit older at this point. There were times where I'd watch Def Comedy Jam with my parents, and I'd sit in front of them, and I would have to not laugh at shit that I wasn't supposed to understand.
Which does not make sense to me.
Exactly. So I'm just sitting there, and I know they're seeing my shoulder shake behind me, and I'm just like, nope, not gonna laugh, even though it's hilarious. Maybe, oh my lord, another pussy joke.
Maybe they thought you were epileptic. I don't know.
Probably, maybe. Who knows?
That's awful.
I always hated like when you had to go to bed, and like it was one of those things. Then all of a sudden, like they were putting on a movie that they were gonna watch. That I was like, I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, no, my parents did that shit all the time.
And then, but then like you'd come down for like you know a glass of water or something, and like I have these memories, but like sometimes they decide to change movies or something like that, and it was like,
that's when they were watching porn.
Well, no, it would be other things, and it was like they were watching like The Fly or something like that, and then I came down and it was some other thing. It was like some deserted town. I'm like, so for years and years, I'm thinking there's
you thought The Fly was a western?
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? And I have no idea what the hell they were watching, but yeah, no, it was just one of those things. Like you catch part of it. Like, I remember the first time my parents were watching Die Hard.
I remember my parents watching Stripes. My brother and I were in the room, and like, as soon as the titties come out in the first 5 minutes, my mom's like, nope.
Turns the channel. Or all the movies that you would watch that you didn't get the jokes until you're later, like, I was watching this when I was 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. History of the World Part 1.
That one?
Because that movie came out when I was like 10 or 11. And
actually, my mom told me a joke that I really didn't even get until I was 18.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I was, the first time I saw it, I remember I was like 10 or 11.
I remember my mom telling me a joke when I was like 8 that I didn't get till I was like 18. She started off, she said, what do you call a woman with one leg longer than the other? Eileen. But what do you call an Oriental woman with one leg longer than the other? Irene. 8 years old, I didn't get that. And she's just like, well, I don't get it either. Never mind. Right? I'm 18. And all of a sudden, that joke just pops into my head. And then I rolled around on the ground for like 10 consecutive minutes, laughing my ass off at A, the joke, and B, the fact that my mom told me this when I was 8 years old. And I was just like, that's the funniest shit ever.
Well, when I was probably about 8 or 9, my brother happened upon a copy of a book called Truly Tasteless Jokes.
Oh, those are horrible.
And that was another example of things my parents couldn't hide from us because they themselves enjoyed it so much.
But that's because your parents are kind of racist though, right?
No.
No?
No, well, it wasn't. Some of those jokes. It wasn't just racist jokes.
That's all I ever saw in there.
It's filthy jokes.
Oh, okay.
My parents didn't really have. I mean, they must have hit it well.
Well, your parents didn't even curse in front of you.
No, they did not. I heard my mom curse like one time, and it freaked me out.
So then, why do you have a mouth like a sailor?
Because they didn't let me curse when I was a fucking kid.
I just high-fived Joe.
The only time when I was little that I got to stay up late for something was to watch the Miss USA pageant or the Miss Universe pageant.
And that's your mom pretty much sitting you down and saying, learn how to do it right!
Pretty much.
Career training.
Yeah.
Don't be like that whore!
Here's the thing, is that I would sit down and I would get, like, paper and pen, and I would, like, seriously, like, sit there and,
oh my fucking God, she still does this!
And I would do, like, my top 10.
She still does this.
And I would be
I thought you were taking notes.
No, I would do, I would pick my top 10. And then I'd be like, got it,
She still does this.
Wait, there are people who still watch the Miss USA pageant?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
But no, I would like, and I would be so proud if I got like more than half. I'd be like, ha!
Check it. In your face, Miss Montana.
Well,
she knows it's like Big Brother.
Yeah, she's, she still judges women on the daily.
Well, yeah, of course.
Look, here's the thing.
Walking
down
the street, yeah.
I got really good at that. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is the Southern girls, Southern girls win a lot. Like, you can go on odds.
It's because Southern girls are willing to go down.
Your Midwestern girls, yeah, Miss California always brings it. And then you got, like, your New England girls. You got to...
Hey!
Just saying.
New England girls got wide shoulders.
Hey!
Well, they do.
Miss Rhode Island always has a bad perm. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you look at my high school yearbook, it looks like the Vidal Sassoon perm handbook from 1982. And I graduated in 93, so that should give you an idea.
That's good. I like it. Wrap us up.
All right, well, I guess in closing, our childhood was probably better than your childhood if you grew up in the 90s. So sorry.
Squiggle vision.
Squiggle vision. Squiggle porn. Okay, if you liked what you heard here, you can catch our brand of funny all day, every day on Twitter. You can follow us at Pop Culture House. You can follow me personally, Anthony Donovan, at Daboy, D-A-B-O-Y.
I'm at Reggie Swing.
I'm at Craze Dr. Scott.
And I'm at the underscore warden 23.
And if there's something from your childhood you want to share with us that we forgot, or you want to commiserate with us, or stories about your siblings,
you can email us at thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com.
Mm,
and as always, we want to thank sound engineer Joey and everybody at Don't Panic Studios. We love you. And we will catch y'all later. I'm going to go get some therapy now, thinking of Durwood imagining my parents doing it.
We're not imagining it.
My brother's a dick.